The National Music Museum in Vermilion has a new director. Cleveland Johnson started work earlier this month. He takes over from the museum's senior curator, Peggy Banks, who served as interim director following the retirement of the museum's founding director, Andre Larson. The National Music Museum and Center for Study of the History of Musical Instruments features a collection of more than 15,000 American, European, and non-Western instruments from virtually all cultures and historical periods. Dr. Johnson recently stepped down as executive director of the Thomas J. Watson Fellowship at the Thomas J. Watson Foundation in New York City. He served in that post while on leave as professor of music at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana, where he also served as dean of the School of Music. Dr. Johnson, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you very much for having me.
And welcome to Vermilion, I should say,
Thank you.
You've been here about a month or a little more?
I've been here about a month with several exits already out doing museum business around the country. So if we were to actually count it on one hand, I've probably been in town perhaps a couple of weeks.
What was it that attracted you to the National Music Museum?
Well, the museum is known worldwide for its stunning collection of instruments. It's a collection that I've known about throughout my career with my background as a musicologist or a music historian. It's always been this tantalizing mirage of out in the Midwest that I've always wondered about, and to have an opportunity finally to come out and to see it and to meet the people who are behind the organization was a really exciting moment for me.
What was it like when you first saw the museum?
Well, I think, as with many people who encounter this part of the country for the first time, you enter it with a certain amount of skepticism. But I tell you, when I walked through the front doors of the museum and got a glance through the foyer into the center gallery there that's full of our historic keyboard instruments, I knew that I was in a very remarkable place.
What is it that makes this place remarkable? Are there other institutions, other museums like this doing similar work?
Well, I've probably set foot in as many collections of musical instruments as anybody around. During my student days in Europe, I hit up just about every known collection of instruments in Western and Central Europe, and I know the East Coast collections pretty well. And I knew intellectually that these instruments were here, but to see such a rich repository with such depth and breadth, I really had to see it to completely believe it.
Have you met with the founder of the National Music Museum, Andre Larson?
I have met him briefly. I have. I look forward to having many conversations with him in the future to learn more about, the history that goes back to his father and to the very early years of building this to what it is today. But it's a relationship that I'm looking forward to building.
Do you think there's any sort of challenge to being the director, becoming the new director, following essentially the man that founded this institution?
Well, I think there are probably volumes and volumes and volumes written about organizational history and organizational development, and I think we could probably find a chapter or two that deals with this very scenario, the handing on of a cherished institution that's been built by an individual or an individual's family, kind of handing it on to the next generation or to the next director in this case, to think about where the museum has come and how it's been shepherded over these decades. And then to think about the auspicious nature of handing it on for the first time to an outside director who's coming in expecting to bring an outside perspective to things, expected to bring new ideas and new energies. What can you do with this collection that we've put together now?
Now, among the things that are about to happen at the museum, there's an expansion, new construction that's supposed to start in 2013. What do you think that'll do for the museum?
Well, what's starting in 2013 is the beginning of raising of the funds that we'll need for the expansion. The expansion, as I understand it, has been in discussion for many years. It looks like it's going to become a reality here in the near future as funds are made available for it. It will be a part of a much broader campaign on the University of South Dakota campus, and we will be a part of that much larger initiative raising needed funds for many, many initiatives for the university. But as we begin to think about the opportunity that a new facility will give to us, it just opens up all kinds of doors. If you can imagine being confined by a space where you have no room to grow, the limitations that are placed on you, just in very practical ways, but also in creative ways, having new space for our collection to grow, having new space for us to try creative ways to exhibit that collection, to change it up, to explore it from every possible angle and perspective, to give the local community something always new and fresh to look at, so you're not coming back to the same collection year after year, but it's actually got something new and invigorating and challenging for you. You walk in the door and there's a new changing exhibit every several months, or this is something that's really hard to do in the confines that we have now that a new facility is going to really open up for us.
So you're coming on board a time when the museum is growing, a pretty exciting time.
It's very exciting. It's also very challenging because there are so many opportunities. It's a very daunting task just to know where to start. I mean, clearly that's the purpose of bringing in a new person, moving ahead with this next generation, so to say, in the institutional history. It's all about figuring out what we can do creatively to really transform the institution and let it move into that next level. I think really probably to sum it up in a broadest perspective, I really want to spend my time here to make the National Museum a truly national museum. It has every right to that name based on its collection. It is unlike anything that we can find in the world in terms of its depth and breadth, but in terms of its ability to reach out and touch lives and to engage the public, we have some work to do to make it truly national. The challenge of actually getting people through our door is an ongoing challenge for any institution. It's a challenge here in Vermilion in terms of the number of people that we actually have access to. So one of our challenges is going to be finding creative ways not only to bring people to us, but to take us to them. We're going to be exploring all kinds of opportunities in the future years to take the collection out, to get it out both to East and West Coast, to figure out ways to loan our instruments more broadly, to have traveling exhibits, as well as to have changing exhibits here in town.
What is your background as a musician? I understand organ studies. Is that
My background is as a historic keyboardist. I would define it perhaps. I'm trained as an organist, as a harpsichordist. My performing days are probably past me because I moved early in my career in the direction of music history, doing more research than performing. My roots are very definitely in the historic pipe organ. Lots of early research in Europe dealing with historic instruments going back to the 15th century. Did some recordings on historic instruments using historic performance techniques. And much of my research early in my career was based in that particular area. I had kind of a shift mid-career. The India bug bit me. I spent 10, 12 years doing research in India, which got me out of Europe and into Asia. I've spent some wonderful, wonderful time in India doing research in Indian music and learning about that culture.
So there's a certain amount of world music that's involved in your background as well.
Yes. So again, the collection here at the museum is fascinating for me because it really is quite comprehensive. Certainly, the core of the collection and the deepest, richest part of the collection is in the historic European tradition. but there is a pretty good cross-section of all cultures here, and that's a particular area that I'm interested in growing.
So your own background will have a very important impact on what happens with the museum with your interest there.
Well, I hope so. I hope so, yes.
The word fundraising has come up a few times. Is that one of the main duties of the director of the National Museum?
Let's put it this way. I've been in Vermillion for 3 weeks. I've just come back from a week in Southern California on development business. I'm leaving day after tomorrow for a week in the Northeast on development business. So out of my first 4 weeks, 2 weeks would have been spent on the road meeting some of our potential donors, meeting some of our own trustees whom I need to get to know, and certainly spreading the word about the museum any way I can.
And you touched on this a little bit. I'm wondering about the current reputation nationally of this museum. You mentioned that you want to get more people to know about it. Right now, what is the reputation of this institution?
Well, it has a very high reputation. It's very, very well known among scholars and academics because when you're working with musical instruments, anyone in that field knows that the first place to turn for those kinds of resources, either to have your questions answered or to find instruments that you can turn your attention to, the first place to turn would be the National Music Museum. It's like any kid who has a report to do for school knows that you go straight to the encyclopedia as your first reference point. You will probably do some further research after that, but you go to the encyclopedia first. I mean, the National Music Museum is like that encyclopedic resource for scholars and academics. Where we're not so well known is more to the general public, and this is where we have lots of opportunities to kind of grow our reputation. This is a huge opportunity for us, particularly now with the resources that the internet opens up to us, because we can bring people into our museum virtually. We can also find more ways to allow people to interact with our collections, even though they may not ever actually be able to set foot into our. We know from our current website that we have visitors from all over the world just about every week. It's amazing how many hits we get on our website internationally. We know that people are sitting in Paris. We know that people are sitting in Croatia. We have people all over the world literally looking at our instruments, marveling at our photographs and the detailed specifications that we're able to give about our collection. We know that our collection is being utilized all over the world by academics. Now it's a matter of getting the word out more to a general public.
Well, Dr. Johnson, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us on Dakota Midday. And again, welcome to Vermillion.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.